It's time for Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here is your host, the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
I forgot to tell you, I'm not Dave Woloshin. I'm your good buddy, Johnny Radio. And it is a beautiful Monday, is it not? The weather's nice. NBA Finals tonight. Darian Newsome is...
And I am not landing. What's up, Johnny Radio?
Hey, not landing, Mr. Darian Newsome. Action News 5. What do you think about them Knicks now, buddy?
You gonna make me eat those words. Last time I talked to you, I said Spurs in 5. I will have to adjust and say Spurs in 6.
Mm.
I'm a down this throne, man. I'm a down that hill. Got you.
Yeah, because I think you're going down.
But the Knicks are surprising. Needless to say, they are surprising me.
I was scared. Y'all heard me. I wasn't just like the most... I wasn't so convinced that I was out here screaming and beating the table, saying y'all are crazy. Was I scared of the Spurs? Yes. Did I say before the whole playoff started, the winner of the West is going to be the best team and they will win the finals? I said all of those things until I watched the finals. Till I saw the Spurs, literally the second youngest team ever to make it to the finals. Do you realize that? Ever in NBA history, second youngest team. They went through a war, won a 7-game series, finished it off in OKC, straight up pimp. Minnesota took care of business. It was a hard-fought series, took care of it in 6. They were pimp. Portland, they took care of them, but Denny wasn't playing, was he? He came downhill and downhill and downhill. But right now, New York Knicks going to the crib, bro.
Very important time. You know, the president will be there tonight, John.
And by the way, does it kind of not give you old Pat Ewing 90s vibes? Do you not remember him on the sidelines all the time? And they would always show the Donald and him and Ewing would always... like, dap it up and high five.
Yeah, he will be in a special box. There's a lot of amenities.
Yeah, he won't be
tonight.
Just sitting down courtside like he did back in the day. He sat right there where they walked out. Do you not always remember seeing him? I guess I just remember because, like, he, you know, he was Donald Trump, Pat Ewing. And I was like, dude, he's kind of tall. He doesn't, like, go up to just his belt. You know what I mean? You don't remember that?
No, but I know that Donald's not. I mean, he's like, what, 6'2", isn't he?
Dude, I don't think he's a lot taller than that. The way, at least, just from seeing where, remembering, damn, how tall I thought he looked when he was standing next to Pat Ewing, I would say at least 6'4". Is that crazy? I mean, Pat Ewing was 7 feet tall, right?
President Trump is 6'3".
I was close. Damn, dude. Maybe those damn lifters or elevator shoes, whatever he was wearing. Maybe he was standing up on a little something because he looked. I mean, he didn't look what I mean. You know how Pat makes everybody look small? Do you remember John Starks on the court next to Pat Ewing?
Well, I think there's a picture with Muggsy Bowles in this.
It's those dudes, by the way, are crazy. I watched a great video on another small guy who overcame height and weight issues, and it wasn't in the NBA. It was Darren Sproles. By any chance, have you ever seen his show, his little bitty ESPN, whatever it is, documentary, or maybe it was on NFL Network? I can't remember which one of the channels I was watching.
I hadn't seen it, but we definitely remember Sproles from the Chargers and the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. And all the players that were taken before him, and no matter how great he was in college and stuff, he was still overlooked. And then when he weighed in, and I think, what was it, like 5'5 and 170? It was something so small. And he said that he called his dad, and he was almost in tears, and said, they literally laughed at me today. Laughed at me. And he was just like, I mean, what do I have to do to prove it? And y'all know the rest. Golly, now I want to know exactly how tall he was, man. That dude played forever for his life. I mean, think about it. This dude played in the National Football League at a buck 70. 5'5", a buck 70. That's insane. Talk about the hard little dude to get down as fast as he is.
Sproles, according to the Googlers, 5'6", 190 out of Kansas State.
Yeah. If you go to the NFL Combine one, though, it has him 5'5", 170. I think Kansas State gave him a little bit of love. Gave him an inch. Trust me, dude, if you're 5'5", you want to be 5'6".
Tell me about it.
If you're 5'11", you want to be 6 feet tall. It sucks. You get to 5'11 at 15, and then you never grow another damn inch. You know how annoying that is?
Yeah, I do know.
Yeah, me and Darian. Well, you got to, what, 5'5", and then grew an inch? But, man, we got a lot of stuff to talk about again. Wolo has a very busy show. We have a bunch of great guests coming up today. In fact, our first guest is TJ Reeves. We talked to Mike DeCourcy at 10:30, and then we close it off with Ted Butler and a little bit of golf. So, very busy show. We got NBA Finals Game 3 in New York, baby. Don't forget, we also get to talk, and I said it last week, I feel so smart. I went on a complete rant, if anybody remembers. What was I going on a rant about, Mr. Darian Newsom?
Last week, I forget. What'd you
get? Okay, so remember Nick Saban went to Congress, and I was saying the last thing in the
world.
Oh,
yeah, the Congress went to school, yeah.
Like, why do you go to the government for help? You are the NCAA. You have, every opportunity to grab somebody from every single law school across the country that could figure out a way, put a think tank together, put the smartest people in your sports together, and figure out how college athletes can be students, get paid, have an opportunity to leave if things don't work out, but we don't need to make it a free-for-all. I mean, did you see the LSU baseball team after their season ended? Every single player on the team is in the portal. Do you know how difficult you're making it for coaches and for players and their families? I saw a great opportunity. The young fella this week, I believe it was for North Carolina, that got the walk-off, and he transferred in from like George Mason or some small ass school, I can't remember, and he got to transfer into North Carolina, and the moment he had was awesome. And college baseball this weekend was awesome. But what did I say? You don't want to, like, the last thing you do want to do is just start going to run into the federal government. Hey, give me some help. You think, like, you know that y'all are going to lose half y'all money if they start messing around with it. But for real, I said it's ridiculous that the NCAA can't do anything, and now everything is basically legislation. And I said, and it's not just like, and I'm talking about everybody is just going to court. I mentioned Trinidad Chambliss. I am not taking a shot at Ole Miss. I love Ole Miss. I think that it was so stupid. The thing about the NCAA is common sense should come in. And if you can't get a think tank with the smartest minds around all of college sports and all the law schools and figure out a way to do this, well, then, like, what the hell are you even there for? Because the fact that everything just goes to court now is a pain in my ass. And I said last week, what did I say? This sucks that everything has to get adjudicated. You're eligible. You're not eligible. Well, I'm going to get me an attorney. Let's go to court. And you know Brendan Sorsby, who was, of course, banned from playing, has now got a temporary injunction against the NCAA. He is now going to be eligible to play. It looks like he's going to miss the first two seasons of the game. The thing that kind of just bothers me, it's not like it makes me freak out. But it is freaking annoying, and I'm not saying that everything is the same. And times change. Truth changes with time. The pendulum, when it starts to swing, it goes one way, then it goes back the other way. Pete Rose went to his grave not getting into the Hall of Fame because of gambling. Brendan Sorsby got multiple million dollars and is back playing college football. And now it's time to talk with my good buddy TJ Reeves. First and foremost, what's up, TJ? Long time
to talk. Johnny Radio. How in the world have you been?
Man, you know me, just chilling like a villain, trying to make it one day at a time.
Are you singing and quoting Descendants in your own head? I got that reference. I don't know how much of the Sports 56 audience got that reference,
I got
that chilling like a villain. I got that.
Thank you very much. My man TJ's always getting everything. Man, I love listening to you and Dave kind of rap, but I'm going to go start here today and like a different.
Well, I heard subject. You venting about the Sorsby thing, and since that's an open wound and it's fresh.
Yes.
One of my favorite phrases right now is, what are we doing here?
Yes.
Why is Texas Tech even arguing this at this point? Aside from the fact that they don't have a legitimate second option at quarterback, apparently. Why are we even going through litigation? He was gambling on his own team, mm-hmm. by his own side's admission.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing here? I mean, we have reached the point in 2026 when apparently we don't have any rules, we don't have any ethics, we don't care about anything. What a mess.
The only thing that can get you in trouble is Aiden Holloway got banned from the NCAA tournament for 2 pounds of marijuana.
Well, but, I mean, there's different levels to, okay, this isn't as bad. I mean, gambling, as you just referenced with Pete Rose, gambling on your own team is the worst of the worst.
Yep.
Because, by the way, You're not just gambling yourself. You're probably telling others. And if you're not going to gamble on your own team, you're giving the green light to everybody else bet against us. It's the worst. So when I heard you saying all of that, the phrase that I keep coming back to is for now, just like the Charles Bediako basketball case at Alabama. They had him eligible for now, and he played a few games, remember? And the NCAA eventually prevailed and said, you're not eligible. The court ruling at the lower level got overruled, and so I wonder if a Texas appellate court coming up isn't going to say the same thing and say the NCAA can enforce this rule. If not, we have just reached beyond the point of silliness.
That's the point, TJ. Like, that's the whole crazy thing is, it's like, hey, we'll go find a friendly judge, get in front
right.
of him, and all things will be forgiven.
And he'll just make up what the punishment should be. He said,
games.
Hey, you've got to go undergo counseling. You've got to do community service, and I'm going to give you 2 games. I'm going to play like I'm the NCAA. I'm going to give you 2 games
yep.
for the injunction. Okay. Well, stay tuned. It's for now, and the final chapter is not written here on June the 8th. Why do I get the feeling we'll hear more about this like later this month when they can get in front of a federal judge, a panel of federal judges, and say, this kangaroo court thing in Lubbock where he's trying to play college football doesn't stand. But what a mess. What have you done to my Saturdays in the fall with all these great, you know, traditional powerhouse programs and games and matchups, and we've now turned it into the courts and we've turned it into Mega Millions every which direction. We got Nick Saban testifying on Capitol Hill about the death of college sports.
Yep.
What have we come to, Johnny Radio?
I don't even know, TJ, and I went on a rant about this a while ago. Like, you know you're in some deep trouble when you got the powers that be running to Congress for help, because everybody knows the last thing you want is to get the government involved.
Of course, because they straighten out so many things, don't they? They get so many things right and so many things corrected, or maybe they don't. And by the way, it, just as the footnote, the SEC and the Big Ten have already come out and said in a joint statement, we ain't going for this. Even if they pass this legislation and try to ram it through, what Senator Ted Cruz and the others are doing with their hearings, they're like, the SEC and the Big Ten are saying, so what? We aren't going to go along with this. We don't support this. And it only lends credence that they're going to break away and do their own thing. That's like a super conference. Who knows? What a mess,
really,
on a Monday.
That would piss me off. And by the way, like, and again, and I said this years ago, too, I hate to just pat myself on the back, but it is a Monday. It was hard to get out of bed to come in here for Wolo. So I was like, dude, this is going to be the death of Memphis. They can't get into a major conference. Like, the Pat Proud program that Memphis used to have is not the same thing that it used to be just 5 years ago.
Well, yeah. I mean, you are basically wiping out the have-nots, and there's going to be more and more in the group of the have-nots. Because, by the way, the ACC schools And the Big 12 schools that aren't the big revenue producers, they'll get wiped out too in this. They'll get, that's what Saban was talking about. You're eventually going to wipe out a good portion of the programs that can't compete, don't have the money. They'll lose their fan base. They'll lose the money that they do have, and they won't be able to be around anymore. So doom and gloom with that for now. But I'm using that phrase for now on the Thorsby thing and on a lot of other fronts.
The one other thing, though, that I wanted to ask you, TJ, and I'm going to jump off this dead horse in just a second. I guess I've just been kind of – this one just kind of hit me. Like, the whole thing isn't whether he broke the NCAA rules. He admitted to betting 40 times on Indiana football. Like, he admitted that he did it. And, quote, his legal team said he suffered from a diagnosis called gambling addiction. He sought treatment, completed rehab. The NCAA failed to adequately consider the mental health component, and now a lengthy suspension would be inappropriate, of course, because it would be career-ending. It would be basically a death penalty. Like, dude, he's getting $4 million.
Well, right. And by the way, you're as corrupt as the night is dark that you were betting on your own team and encouraging 40. Others to either do it or not. So, yeah, there again, I come back to what we talked about a couple of minutes ago. There should have been some sanity at Texas Tech to say, now that we've uncovered all of this, bye-bye. You're not going to court to play for us. None of this fallback position of, oh, his fragile mental health, bye-bye. You're gambling on your own team. We don't want anything to do with you. But instead, for Joey McGuire and that program, it reeks. We can smell it in Memphis. We can smell it all the way in Tampa Bay where I am. It reeks of win at all cost, and damn anybody that's going to try to stop it, legally or otherwise, will actually go to court and try to have a gambling-addicted quarterback come play for us while we pay him $4 million, which is amazing in and of itself.
I wonder what he's going to do with that money.
Yeah, exactly. And how long he would have that. He's going to pay lawyers, by the way, first of all.
Oh,
a lot of lawyers, apparently. So they're not doing this for free. Welcome to what we have right now in college sports. I mean, you have what's amazing is, and I know this rings true right now with the NBA draft and the Grizzlies being involved there in that market, is look at the number of players that said, rather than risking being a late first-round pick in the NBA draft or not a first-round pick at all, where your money's not guaranteed, I'm going to go back to college, John, where I can make $3 million, $4 million, $5 million this year in college, and we'll try this again next year on my NBA draft status. That's where we are, where these guys, instead of giving up their college eligibility, now want to stick around or now find out, I can make more money this year through NIL by playing college basketball than I would as a late first-round pick or if I only get picked in the second round. So I'm coming back. I'm coming back to college because the money is better. It's amazing.
And I believe there are now three former G League players who have returned to college. I know that Alabama got Charles Bediako.
Right, Bediako. And you've got the foreign-born players along the same line that are 24, 25 years old. LSU has got a 26-year-old. A 26-year-old who's going to come in as a freshman who's been paid to play over in Europe. So it is a broken system. There is no disputing it is a broken system. I just find it fascinating that the NBA, I believe the number was as recently as a couple of years ago, in 2024, there were something like over 300 underclassmen that applied for the NBA draft. This year, that number's down two-thirds. It's down to like 100. It's down significantly because they realize I can make more money playing college basketball, $3, $4, $5 million. So there you have it. Well, I don't know that we're going to fix the ills of the NCAA, though, this morning on the show.
I don't think we are, but I also just want to remind people that, you know, the Chris Winkies and Brandon Whedon from our day, from back in the day when we thought stuff was a little bit wild, like when Chris Winkie returned to Florida State after playing for the Blue Jays farm system, and you had Brandon Whedon. He pitched for the Yankees.
Right.
Man, now you also have, you know, the kid Jordan Adams. I don't know if you've heard about him. This is buck wild. He at a high school signed a $4.1 million contract, went with the Angels, spent 8 years in pro ball, made his major league debut in 2023, washed out by really 2025, and has been stuck in the minors. He decided to leave pro baseball, and he's headed to SMU, baby. Yeah. And did you know that he was actually the number one rated wide receiver over Ja'Marr Chase coming out of high school?
How crazy is that? But yeah, I mean, you've got player after player.
How would you like to be a college baseball? Like, how would you like to be a high school kid today? Your chances of getting to a big time program are so
well. Slow. Yeah, that's the other thing you're doing. You make a great point. You're stamping out the high school, you know, hotbed. I was having this conversation, I think, off the air with Wolo at one point, and I'm like, What is the status of Memphis high school basketball? And you could speak better to this. And what he said is there are two problems. The first problem is what you just said. They're competing against all the 20 and 22 and 24-year-olds that are transferring to all these different programs, and they can't get in to the bigger programs. And the second thing becomes, if they are any good as a 16 or a 17-year-old, they're looking to go to a prep school somewhere else, come to Florida, go to Texas, go to Virginia, go to wherever to showcase at a prep school and leave Memphis high school basketball. It is just not the same anymore. And it's the same way with football in a lot of these states, maybe not to the same degree, that if you show any kind of aptitude, you're going to go play at an IMG academy that's down here in my part of the world. Or another private football factory that's a private school that's basically a football school. And they import kids from all over the country to come play at these schools and showcase them. And this is how you get a better scholarship to go play at Alabama or Michigan or Texas or USC. So what a mess. But right there, you're living it with the point you just made that in Memphis high school basketball, it was such a hotbed to go play for then Memphis State or to play for Arkansas or to play for Tennessee as a freshman. Highly sought after.
Wild.
Now, you got to be spectacular, almost NBA-level talent for them to pay attention to you as a 17 or 18-year-old, to your point.
And last but not least about the high school is you look at all the private schools right now. They can afford all the athletic trainers and the
of course
facilities. And, man, do they just snap
and they
up
get your games on TV.
All that talent.
And you have all these amenities of travel and all these different things. And, of course, they're going to lure, you know, the player that sees dollar signs and big-time fame, they're going to lure them away. Of course they are.
Looks like 8-Ball and MJG said it best way back in the day. Got to make that money, man, that money, man. Got to make that money, man. Follow the money, because that's basically everything we talked about today. It's basically all leads back to where's the money.
Less, how do we get some of it?
No kidding. I haven't figured that one out, dadgummit, TJ.
Yeah,
I'm not
we
got to
figure
it.
That out.
My daughter's good at it. Both of them are much better than I am. It's crazy.
Well, and as you know, I've been sharing this with Wolo, my two have just graduated from high school, believe it or not. And so now they are both going to head to the University of South Florida here in Tampa.
Ooh,
and we are having
nice.
We're having legitimate money conversations on all front: housing, tuition, your food, car or not, car insurance or not, your cell phone, all these different things. And unlike Brendan Sorsby, to bring it back to him one more time, they're not getting $4 million each to go to the University of South Florida. A little different dynamic.
No, it's wild. Like a regular student, the amount of money.
It's crazy.
I honestly really need to sit
there. I'm apparently going to be doing radio and podcast till I'm 80.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is going to break you. You know, my youngest daughter just graduated from Ole Miss. And about 3 weeks ago.
Is she on the track to be your 401k plan at this point? She can go ahead and earn a bunch and you can just sit back? Or no, what's the status?
Man, my oldest daughter, you know, she's a doctor at a Tupelo Women's Hospital.
There we go.
My youngest is now a pharmaceutical sales rep. And I cannot even say her company's name.
Well, but that's got promise. On. That's got high level
possibility. They starting her out more than I'm making. I'm like, and they gave her a brand new spanking car, a gas card, and a per
diem. Should have been in pharmaceuticals.
Dude, man, I've been in them before. They were bad for me.
different should have been in.
Yeah.
But yes, I understand.
And you're going to, but the reason I mention that is because, like, you know, My daughter's freshman year, she got a quarter scholarship, kind of like the way it was for me when I went to Memphis. You got partial scholarship. She was a cheerleader. Her sophomore year, full ride, full books and board. And then after they won the national championship, she was getting $700 a month. And then it
stipend.
Went to
$600. In addition to.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it went from me paying a fork load to the only thing I ended up having to pay for was Kappa Kappa Gamma dues. But this is going to blow your mind, TJ Reeves. $5,700 a semester for her sorority.
Holy cow, for the sorority.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is the Reeves twins need to be sorority free. That's your advice on Monday in June.
I would just kind of put this in their head. You can get your own friends. You ain't got to pay for friends. They got apps.
You
got to
pay $5,700 for friends every semester.
Yeah. It's Tampa, girls. The weather's beautiful.
Go find. And here's the other point, and we already covered this. USF Memphis, I believe it's November 12th in Tampa football, and I'm now outnumbered John Harden. I am now outnumbered.
Gosh.
Mrs. Reeves is a bull, so I'm going to need help. Wolo, you, whomever else, and all the Memphis alumni, I'm outnumbered in my own household.
Is it in Memphis or South
Florida? It is in Tampa.
See, I want to go. That's what I was
hoping. Tampa.
I think
last year Memphis and Ryan Silverfield's team derailed USF unbeaten season and their hopes of trying to get into the college football playoff and all of that with the great Memphis fourth quarter comeback.
Yeah, that was a wild game.
I might or might not have been a slightly obnoxious Memphis alum in and around Tampa and all the USF people for the better part of a couple of weeks. After that. So payback could be coming later this year. I'm just pointing out I'm now outnumbered in my own household.
I love it. Last but not least, I need to know who you got tonight, Spurs or Knicks?
How do you go against the Knicks?
Thank you.
After what you've seen the first two games, Victor Wembanyama out to lunch. I mean, he had the great and one, but you got to finish the game. You're giving the ball up there in the final 7 seconds, and then you foul Brunson after you do it.
Yep, turnovers.
And then
man.
What was the final shot? So I mean, somebody needs to that's not related
brick.
To like the Spurs players or what, explain to me how are they not psychologically toast after those two losses?
Also, the veteran team that New York is like again, all the experience, the fact that you got a San Antonio team that is the second youngest team ever to make the finals after going through a war at Oklahoma City and finishing in a game 7, a war against Minnesota, and people forget Portland. That Denny boy was running hard and bumping folk.
Well, and don't underestimate this. For all the lampooning, there's a good word on a Monday, of Mike Brown as the coach of the Knicks, he clearly has gotten a lot out of these guys and the lineups, and he's been there numerous times before as an assistant coach, winning the championships with Golden State, been in the playoffs previously with Sacramento, and I think he has done, obviously, a much better job than the San Antonio first-year full-time coach of the adjustments and how to get the most out of it. So we'll see. They haven't had this in 50 years, John, for the New York Knicks and their fans. So this is going to be some scene with the president there and the whole bit tonight at the Garden. It is going to be electric, and it's going to be wild. So we'll all watch together what happens on that. But I think it's New York. I thought it was San Antonio at the beginning of the series, and New York made me look foolish and shut me up. They won the first two games on the road. So.
TJ's an intelligent man, Darian. Did you hear how he's learning instead of like going back to the well continuously like Darian does?
Darian, you think the Spurs are going to win tonight in the Garden?
Absolutely.
And get
TJ,
back in the series. They're getting off the mat. The count is like in boxing. It's like 8, 9. They're going to get up here at the Garden?
Absolutely.
No, I'm with
because
TJ.
Why? Because Wembanyama carries them? Or Castle?
I just think that you can go on the road and somehow the pressure relieves itself. I just believe so.
Not in the Garden tonight, baby.
I'm going to use this phrase. I think they're going to be ready to relieve themselves about 8:45 Eastern, 7:45 Memphis time. They're going to be ready to relieve themselves, all right, when they're looking around the Garden and they dim the lights and the roar goes up. Yeah, you might be looking to relieve yourself. We'll see.
TJ,
we'll see tonight.
Tell everybody how they can find you.
Hey, find me on social media at Buck Sideline Guy with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, BUC, Buck Sideline Guy. And we look forward to that NFL season. And I got podcasts galore out there. I got a sports media pod. You can come find me, follow me, The Last Word on Sports Media Pod. You can find me for some boxing coverage. I got all kinds of different avenues that I travel.
Dude.
They can check me out there. And as always, go Tigers. Go Memphis Tigers. Class of 92 for me, the former Memphis State. You boys behave on a Monday.
We will try our best, man. Thanks for your time, brother.
I'm sorry we couldn't solve all the NCAA's ills. We only had one segment on a Monday for about 20 minutes, but you can get back at it after the break, all right?
Thank you, TJ. And by the way, I think we did better than they have so far. That is my good friend TJ Reeves. Coming up next, I got Mike DeCourcy. We're going to be back in two shakes of a lamb's tail. I'm sure y'all are probably used to TJ doing golf. I'm sorry. I got Ted Butler at the end of the show, and I got to figure out what happened in golf between now and 10:45. But coming up next, my man Mike DeCourcy right here on Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Jay Woloshin.
Who's filling in for Dave Woloshin, and I've been enjoying myself, man. That was nice to talk with TJ Reeves. I haven't talked with him in a long time. I used to always talk with TJ.
Y'all sounded like old buddies, kids.
Man, we talked for, like, you have no idea. God, you have no idea. I've been here so long. I mean, the only relationships that I've had that have lasted longer than me here at Sports 56 are the relationships with my children, which are forever and eternal. And now my new wife, Chastity. Check her out, ChastityHarden.com. Best real estate agent in the whole wide world. She can put up with me, trust me. She can put up with you. She's not just a real estate agent. She's the real estate broker at Moss Real Estate. Check her out, ChastityHarden.com. Kind of like a chastity belt, and then my last name, .com. Now, we're going to talk a little sports action with my man, Mike DeCourcy. He does pretty much everything. Mike can cover it I don't know if there's anything Mike can't talk about. He talks all things pretty much college sports. And if you like to gamble, which I love to gamble, he's one of those guys that can rock and fire. And there's another guy who really, really likes to gamble. And that's Brendan Sorsby. He loves to gamble. He would have done better if he listened to Mike DeCourcy in the sporting news. I know that's for damn sure. First and foremost, Mike, long time no talk. How you been, my brother?
I am well. How are you today?
I'm hanging in there, man. What you been up to? Anything good?
Getting ready for the World Cup, which starts this week. Very, very exciting. We've got 5 weeks starting Thursday of the best sporting event on the planet, so I'm very psyched up for that.
Mike, I did not know that you were a soccer guy.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. So do you actually have some inside information that you're going to be dropping all over the place?
Well, I don't know about inside, but I will be covering it for the sporting news over the course of it's a month, but this year we have 5 weeks because they expanded the size of the tournament. So we go from June 11th, Thursday, in Mexico, with the Mexican national team starting their World Cup, and we go all the way through July 19th in New Jersey at what is known to us as MetLife Stadium, but the FIFA people don't like to use sponsors that aren't their sponsors, so I think they call it New York, New Jersey Stadium or something like that.
Dude, I honestly, like, because I have to be honest with you, Mike, you know, I've been following you probably since back in the middle of the 90s over the sporting news. Shoot, you've been there longer than I've been here. Oh my goodness. Am I right on that? Is it mid 90s?
Yeah, my first assignment basically was November 95 when I started as the columnist for the for college basketball.
That's unbelievable. So what is that? Like, you got over 30 Final Fours under your belt?
Well, I did some before I joined Sporting News. So I've done, I think, 30 with Sporting News because we missed the one. So I've done 30 with them, but I've covered 36 overall.
Mike DeCourcy don't play. You also are still doing the Big Ten Network?
Yes. Yes. Still hopefully doing that, yes. And still doing the bracket projections for Fox Sports as well.
Oh, college basketball bracket analyst for Fox Sports. Man, you got everybody's job. I love that, Mike. Man, so basically I can talk anything I want to this morning. Before we get off of something that I don't know much about, does the men's national team actually have a chance, or is this like I remember when that girl took her shirt off after they won the Olympics, Brandi Chastain. But that's about all I got on the soccer.
Okay. Well, if you're saying do they have a chance to win, I'd say yes, they have a chance, because if you're playing, you have a chance. But are you saying a realistic chance to win it? Then the answer is no.
Okay.
I have a big article coming out about that this week. That simply the thesis of the article is why aren't we better? And I talked to Landon Donovan, the great Landon Donovan. I talked to Giannis McCulloch from ESPN. I talked to Leander Charlekins, who wrote a book that just came out called The Long Game, which is wonderful, about how the U.S. got to be where it is. And it tells a story, a story that really is kind of important to me, because it sort of reflects, well, why aren't we better? Well, why wasn't I a soccer fan when I was a kid?
Well, because we never played it.
Exactly. And that's the point that a lot of people, especially younger people, don't understand now. Johnny,
we didn't have a soccer team until believe my sophomore year in high school, and
you're ahead of me, because we didn't have a soccer team in my high school until I was 6 or 7 years gone, if not longer. I mean, I think it was longer than that. I think it was probably 10 years after I left high school. I did the research on this, and this is a stat that would astound a lot of people who think that we should be farther along than we are. When I was in high school, when I started high school in mid-70s, 17% of U.S. high schools with an athletic department, 17% had soccer teams, any soccer teams.
And that
boys,
makes
girls,
sense
whatever.
To me, because, again, I lived it too, Mike. And yeah. Like I said, there was never, like, you know, summer was baseball, fall was football. Yeah. And then in between, you had basketball season, in between football and baseball season. Like, I mean, it's just that was the rotation of your life and your year, and soccer never was involved. But now my grandson plays soccer. My granddaughters play soccer. All the kids I know, like, you go out to these soccer complexes. I went for the first time a couple years ago. It was, I think, Mike Rose or something down here. I can't remember exactly what the name is, but it's the giant soccer complex. Man, there were more people than you could shake a stick at. I was absolutely shocked. There was like 15 fields, games going on all day long. It's grown so much. But like you said, it's grown in popularity, and we are coming, but we just ain't there yet.
Right. We are far. The Liverpool Football Club, which is the team that I follow in England, because I fell in love with one of their star players after seeing him in the 98 World Cup. And so then when they started putting Premier League games on TV, I'm like, okay, that's my team, because that's who he plays for. And they started in 1892. So we didn't start MLS until 1996. So, like, we're literally 100 years behind in men's soccer. Now, why are we better at women's soccer? Title IX. In a lot of countries around the world, we had Title IX in 1972 that started to promote the women playing all sports, and soccer was one because it's a great sport to play. And so we got ahead of a lot of countries. That was illegal in some countries for women to play. I mean, like some very developed countries, it was illegal. And so how did we get ahead? Well, that's why. And if you watch the movie Bend It Like Beckham, which is a wonderful movie, kind of a romantic comedy, kind of a youth coming of age thing. It's really good. If you could rent it somewhere on Apple or whatever, or Prime or whatever you have, and it's terrific. And in it, it shows the difference in 2002 between what it was like to be a young female soccer player in England, basically the capital of the sport, and America. And so it really shows like why we were extraordinary in women's, but the men on the other side, which we'll see this in this next month, Christian Pulisic has become a very important player worldwide, but not a superstar. We've got very good players playing at a lot of the best clubs in the world, but we haven't produced elite level players. It's getting better all the time, and it's getting more abundant all the time. But there are still a lot of obstacles that I go into in the article that will appear this week in advance of the first game Friday night against Paraguay.
Oh, I do know that I'll be playing because I have a free bet, like a $50 free play to get me into a little World Cup action. Is there a way there I go. Should lean? Is this a game the USA is going to win?
Well, they should win. Paraguay is very good. The challenge for the U.S. in this game is Paraguay's typical approach is very defensive-oriented. So they won't threaten the United States a lot if they are in a tie game. And if they're ahead, like, they'll never cross midfield. I mean, they'll never cross the midfield line if Paraguay gets ahead. So the key for the U.S. is don't give up a cheap goal, a corner kick or a mm-hmm. A free kick off a foul or something like that. That's how Germany scored their first goal on Saturday inside the first 2 minutes was they gave up a cheap foul. It was a big mistake by Tyler Adams, the U.S. midfielder, who's otherwise was fantastic on Saturday. But he gave up a cheap foul, and the U.S. wound up giving up an early goal. If they do get that against Paraguay, that's a huge problem because they'll have a lot of trouble scoring after that. If they're playing at 0-0, then the challenge will be to break down Paraguay and get that goal. And if they get that goal, then Paraguay at that point is in trouble because then they have to stretch themselves beyond what they like. They want to play mostly in their defensive half, and they want teams to try to break them down because they know it's going to be difficult. That's what they're good at.
They're a low-scoring team
for Saturday, for Friday.
Dang, man. I also bring up one other thing, Mike, and I know where everybody is excited about the World Cup, but I always am all up in some college football, and I have to give a little bit of a nod to you. A lot of the, I would say, beliefs, or at least we agree, but I will say I read a lot of your articles when it came to the Brendan Sorsby case, and if I remember correctly, to make sure I'm not putting words in your mouth, you said that the blame should not be shifted to the NCAA or the gambling industry. Sorsby's career, if it ends, so be it, because he crossed the line, because it threatens competitive integrity, if I believe is exactly what you said.
That's exactly right.
And I thought that stuck out with me, and I agree with you. I mean, Pete Rose went to his grave, not in the Hall of Fame, for gambling on his team. Brendan Sorsby admitted to gambling 40 times on Indiana football when he was with Indiana. And again, it's a little bit wild. It's a little bit crazy. And it's basically everything's now adjudicated. Do you think Brendan Sorsby gets to play and only gets a 2-game suspension?
I should hope not. And I don't expect that that'll be the case.
Do you think in Texas is actually going to go by law instead of by if he's a billionaire donor is pushing?
That's
him in
the hope.
Direction?
Yes, and if the, I mean we saw in Alabama the one judge
Aiden
who allowed Charles Bediako. And these are different circumstances. Charles Bediako nowhere near this was just trying to get eligible. So I'm not trying to put him in his class. I'm
we got now three G leaguers now playing.
I think we have something like that, but I want to make sure that I'm not assailing Charles Bediako by putting him in the same category as Brendan Sorsby. I'm not. I'm just putting the case, the nature of the case. He was in court and was initially approved by a judge that had significant ties to the university. And it went, that judge recused himself, and eventually it went to a higher court that said, no, Charles can't play. So even if Brendan were to find a friendly judge, I still think that the likely outcome is based on precedent, not just in NCAA sports, but across all sports, that such rules usually would hold. So that's the hope. I have empathy and sympathy for Brendan Sorsby having a gambling addiction.
We're humans. We have empathy and sympathy, but again, he crossed the line when it comes to the integrity of the game.
If he had bet on a ton of a ton of professional basketball,
it
or a ton of soccer, or a ton of NFL, and he exceeded the limits, they think once you get past $800, they get really itchy about it. But if he'd done that, and he was in this circumstance, then I could see a path forward for him, and a fair path forward. Even if it took going to court, I'd see a fair path forward. But when you bet on your own team, even if you're not playing in the game, you are doing the very thing that they tell you, don't ever do this. And it's not like Brendan Sorsby, who actually literally played in Cincinnati, had never heard of Pete Rose. I mean, he hadn't, maybe, you could maybe say he hadn't heard of him when he was at IU. That's pretty unlikely. But the reality is, you can't. That's just the one rule that you can't violate and say sorry and expect sorry to be enough.
Facts. My man Mike DeCourcy's always spitting them. You need to read his work at the Sporting News. Anywhere else they need to follow you at, Mike?
Yeah, no, not this time of year. This is it's just the Sporting News, sportingnews.com. As I mentioned before, a lot of coverage of the World Cup over the next month. I will be with the U.S. on Friday when they open their season, or their tournament, I should say, against Paraguay in L.A. at the SoFi Stadium, which, of course, like I said, FIFA will not refer to as SoFi, but... just so everybody knows where I'll be, that's what I'll call it.
Well, Mike, have fun with your travels. Good luck with the USA, and I hope the soccer is a lot of fun. I appreciate your time, my friend.
Enjoy. Thank you, John.
That is my man, Mike DeCourcy. Back in two shakes, I got Ted Butler talking golf, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
A little Sports 56 happy hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio. Man, I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I'm not the best person in the whole wide world when it comes to understanding what in the world's going on with golf. But I'm gonna try my best to talk about it. I will tell you, it consists of golf clubs on a course. It's outdoors. And there's a ball and you hit it. It can go left, it can go right. Sometimes it goes straight. It's a hard damn game. You know what I'm saying? You ever play golf, Jay? You have? I ain't going to lie to you, bro. I think you would suck. You can't defend yourself. Ted ain't answering, bro. It's all right. I don't know anything about golf anyway. Kind of helps us out. I mean, I can tell you one thing. I know that... The 2026 U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills is in New York on June 18th through the 21st. How you like that? What's the day? The 8th?
Yeah,
that's in 10 days, bro.
I can't win the 18th.
Dude, U.S. Open's that close?
Yeah. It's normally around Father's Day weekend.
I will tell you this. I know this because it's right here in black and white. The course is already being described as one of the toughest tests in golf. I think that's how they say it.
All right, a little housekeeping for this golf thing, John.
He's sitting for the putt.
Y'all probably were going to talk about the memorial in which JT posted one. Bingo, bango. There you got it.
Went to a playoff. What happened? JT? Justin Timberlake?
A little post in action, man.
Who's JT?
The winner of the memorial.
His actual name is JT Poston?
Absolutely.
I've never heard of him.
Went to a playoff yesterday.
He probably wasn't. Was he good? I mean, I know they're all good.
He won 12. He shot 12 under. So.
Okay, will you just tell me, like, what's he ranked? I mean,
Let's see where JT.
Because I know the memorial is Jack's course, right? I heard that if you miss the cut, you have to.
Okay,
make sure
JT Poston is a whopping 94th rank in the world.
Oh, he's really good. 94th in the world? Oh, top 100 player, homie.
Yep.
Like, man, dude, that sucks. Like, if you're a top one, if you're like a top 300 player, you suck. And you're like the 300th best golfer in the world. And you don't suck. I'm just saying you ain't rich. Like, Scottie Scheffler. Did he make the cut?
No, I don't believe so. But
oh, come on, man. You better know if he made it or not.
But just speaking of Poston, being the 94th player in the world, do you know his career earnings, John? You said he sucked.
No, I didn't say he sucked. I said...
Oh, yeah, you said he's good. Okay.
I said,
my bad. I thought I heard you.
94th in the world, bro. That's top 100 player, huh?
JT Poston has made $27 million.
He's not doing bad. I didn't say he was.
Yeah, my bad. I misheard you.
I was saying, though, but, like, go to the 300th player in the world and see what his dead gum earnings are. Let's go find it. Because I can tell you he ain't earning $27 million. My man working on a damn... He's talking to
working
some rich
Channel
dude.
5 with me.
He's talking to a rich guy going, yo, man, can you float me another $5,000 so I can get to this next tournament, man? I'll make some money. I'll make the cut. No, because how many people make the cut? I don't know.
That's how they be putting the big-ass checks in the car like Happy Gilmore was.
Okay, just quickly, I only got to the 200th ranked player in the world. That is Joel Damian. And even he's made $14 million, people.
Hey, Joel doing all right.
Joel is doing all right.
But you can't get. But you can't find 300, you're saying? How come?
Not right then. It just took me to 200.
No, hey, man, dude.
200 either, though.
14, I'll ask if the chat.
14 million? Hey, man.
The 300th.
There's some dudes in the NBA putting up 2-3 points a night. They getting 15. I'm just saying.
Yep.
They getting 15 to foul. Get cardio and be in shape. That's a bad gig.
All right, I'm about to find this 300th ranked player in golf. This is I'm using what the kids use, the chat GTP. It said, oh, man.
All right, I got you. It's Yusaka Hosono.
It says that these people that are in the 300th, sorry, they don't even play on the tour. They're in the Corn Ferry.
Yeah, that's official world golf, right? So, yeah, they may not be on your PGA.
Dude. They don't even get to play, man. Surprising the number of golfers ranked around the 300th. Sadly, man, dog. They don't make a lot of money when you're 300th. Like, they screwed.
Well, it's not a lot.
Like, they ain't, like, put it this way. It says many players in that range, career earnings on a course would be roughly from 50,000 to possibly 5 million, depending on your age, tour history, and if you actually got to win a tournament.
Now, if you could just do
so, like I said, if you just made $50,000 and you played for like 10 years, you're broke.
Unless you just do this locally. Doing all right.
Man, that just, I ain't going to lie to you. I did not realize how tight golf was. Like, everybody out there is a baller.
Yeah.
So that, like, when Tiger Woods and Jack
traveled and all that,
and
so, yeah.
Arnold and now, I guess, is it Scheffler?
Yeah.
Like, when we see people doing that, they are absolutely insane.
Shout out to Nelly Korda, man. She's the number one ranked women's player in the world.
What up, Nelly? I love the little bitty little thing under your eye. What is it? Is it Band-Aid? Is that right?
That's hot in here, Nelly, Joe.
Yeah, it's getting hot in here. Take off all your clothes. I am getting so hot. That's the end of Wolo and Friends. Little Johnny Radio's Happy Hours coming up next on Sports 56 98.5 FL.
Do you want a greener, more weed-free lawn? If you're like me,